Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. Impermeable. I'm the people's champ. Obama, and you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick, allergic to the con artist. Fake woke, an imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C, that's my
Hello, happy Tuesday. Oh my goodness, it feels like forever.
Happy Tuesday.
Hotep family.
Wonderful. All right, so anybody that follows us on social media or Instagram rather knows what today's topic is kind of about. For anybody that doesn't follow us on Instagram, our name is Discussions in the Black Room. So that is where we put all the updates, what the show is going to be about, all the good stuff, emails, all that. So if you have Instagram, follow us on that. But basically today, I mean, I'm not going to say the word, but today is about all this bleeping melanin. Now, when we were thinking of the title, I had actually posted this title on one of my personal Instagram stories. Because I was watching the BET Awards. Now, anybody that saw the BET Awards, sometimes the, you know, award shows can be hit or miss. This one definitely was a hit. In the beginning, I literally was like, how old am I? All of these people were on, like, stage, and I was looking like, I know who Cardi B is. I know who Offset. Everybody else, I don't know who you are. But then they went through and they were coming through with all the people. And when Mary J. Blige did her 20 minutes, oh my God, I could not even stop. I could not even stop dancing. Oh my God. And when Lil Kim came out,
I forgot all
my
those hits. I forgot how many hits she actually has.
Listen, I didn't realize how much I liked Mary J. Blige until the other night. But when Lil Kim came out and the Method Man, I was like, oh my God, my life has changed forever. I have watched that at least two other times after the award show on YouTube. So let me just say that there's a lot that was going on. There was a lot that was happening. Her performance, literally, and I'm talking about her, not her Mary J. Blige. I'm talking about her, H-E-R.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, even The tribute to Nipsey Hussle.
Everything.
It was like back to
everything.
Back to back. Like, normally I step away from the TV. I was like, okay,
no.
Whatever. But,
mm-mm.
Like, it was back to back to back between the fashion and the performances and just the overall, you know, presence that everybody had. It was really, really good.
Yeah, and I don't want to say, I said her, but it's also YBN Cordae. I don't know if I said his name right, but he that's her song, and I downloaded her song on Tidal, but his edition, I hope that she comes out with that song together, because she has that song out, for, you know, streaming, but she has it with just her. I wish she would put that part of the song, his part also, into the song, because them two together was just amazing. The way they looked, the way they sounded, everything was amazing. Even Cardi B and Offset, when they were performing and he was mouthing the lyrics to her song, I was like, that is the cutest thing I've ever seen. Like, he was mouthing all the words. And then when she was very, very active in the dancing in the beginning, and then when she turned around, he was fixing her hair. I was like, this is the cutest thing in the world. Like, whatever they go through as a normal couple. Some of us allow things like that to happen that are even worse than what he did, so none of us have the right to judge her. But he was fixing her hair. I was like, that is, like, in the middle of the performance, he was fixing her hair and making sure she looked good. So, that the award was definitely, yes, definitely worth watching. And then Tyler Perry, I have said this on my Instagram, too. I said he was getting the award, but I think I won an award just listening to him. So that was, if anybody in here, we're going to put it on. Actually, I would like to put it on, as you know, pretty soon. I just wanted to talk a little bit and then put on. I wanted to actually get it on so everybody that hadn't heard it could hear it.
Yeah, definitely. So you know, go ahead, play it.
You got anything to say, Daddy? I know you're there, but I kind of monopolized the first couple of minutes. You there?
No, well, I was just listening, you know, because I saw snippets of it. I didn't get a chance to see it in full because I've been moving around a lot.
Oh, we're about to ruin it for you, then. We're going to ruin it for you.
No, it's okay because, you know, like, I'm not into surprises. So, you know, if I hear it here, that's a good place to hear it. And then I'll just see the whole thing in context, you know, when I get back. But I've been hearing about it but just didn't have a chance to see it.
It's worth listening to more than once, so.
Yeah, I'll check it out. But I'm not surprised, though, because there's just so much talent that we have. You know, before the BET Awards, I think of the Soul Train Awards, and I think about the show that's on BET called American Soul.
Mm.
I lived through that time, so. It's just that when you've seen this and, you know, when you're looking at the BET Awards, you know, the grounding of that, the beginnings of that was the Soul Train Awards. Because we did not have, so to speak, that type of award show. We have the NAACP Image Award, but it's not quite the same as what the Soul Train Awards were. Not the same as what the BET Awards are. When you can bring together all that melanated talent into one room. It's really a powerful experience, and this is your generation's experience with the kind of talent that's out there. So I just think it's a great thing for folk to experience and to see that type of talent.
Exactly, and that was the point. That's the whole point of what I want to say tonight. I feel like, or, you know, what we all want to say tonight, I feel like we have been focusing so much on the negativity and doing the positivity and not even realizing it. Like, we're doing everything that we're supposed to do, but we're not real. Like we're not acknowledging it. We are focusing on all the negativity and not doing, like your favorite thing, living your best life. Like, if we...
Yeah.
There are things that we need to focus on to make us better. But if we focus more on living our best life, the things that are going on wouldn't matter as much. There are very important things going on, and I do not take anything from it. But I think that it is more important to focus on more positive things so that we can build on it, so that we can kind of, you know, you know how they say when you work out, you're supposed to build muscle while you're losing fat because muscle eats fat. So the fat is there, and we're trying to get rid of it. We're trying to eat healthy, but we're also trying to build the muscle that's going to help to eat the fat faster. I don't know where that came from. That just came out of nowhere. But but it's important that while we're trying to get rid of the fat and complaining about it, build the muscle that's going to get rid of it even faster. So that's what we need to do. We need to help to get rid of the fat in our community and also build the muscle that's going to make us stronger and get rid of the negativity a little faster. So I think that's really important.
And to realize that fat is what becomes muscle.
Wow. Well, that's interesting.
And so that's the other thing to realize, and it's the energy that you put into exercise that forms the fat. That's why when people do very serious weightlifting and other types of exercise, as you mature, if you don't keep up that regimen, that muscle will revert back to what it was in the beginning. And so that's why, you know, not only do you exercise, but you continue exercising and you never stop exercising. So, like, if we looked at this metaphysically, like where we're headed with this conversation. The idea is that if you are doing great things, what you're really doing is you are forming great things out of situations that may not be that great.
Mm.
But if you stop doing those great things will revert back to the not so great things they were before you were doing it.
Hmm. You see, that comparison took a turn for the best.
But muscle memory, because if you go right back to it, just like if you go back to working out, your muscles remember, and it's quicker to get back to where you need to be.
Yep. Yep. And I feel like that happened to me recently. I was so focused on all the negativity that was going on, I forgot how amazing being Black was because of all the negativity that they show on TV, because of the conversations that I was having with people. I forgot how great it was. But the moment that my brain realized that it was as great as it is, it went right back. I went right back and started having better conversations. And you're right, Candace. Like, it's exactly like the muscle memory of the greatness of it is to be Black.
Mm-hmm.
It came right back.
Yeah.
Because if you have the foundation, if you have a good foundation, and if you don't let things take over, it's like riding a bike. You will not have an issue getting right back into thinking about how great it is. Because when I was watching that award show, I don't think I sat down. I think I was, standing up watching it the whole time. Anytime I have the opportunity to be around amazing melanated people, even today I went upstairs at my job, and there's like, usually we're all together. Like whenever there's melanated people, we kind of like magnets. And when we're all in the same room, it's a completely different experience. And the moment that I walked in and everybody was there, I don't turn into a different person, but my insides feel at home. So I don't turn into a different person, but I feel like a different person because I'm more comfortable to be myself. And it's nothing against other people. I just am so blessed and honored to be able to be part of a community that is, so melanated and so amazing and so Black. And I can't focus. Even people that are Black don't get it sometimes. And they just focus on the negativity, and they focus on just being so angry. And while there's a place for it, and while it's important to make sure that we're doing the right thing and teaching our kids the right thing, I'm not dwelling on it at all. I'm going to take the best and leave the rest, like you say, Daddy, and make sure that I'm living the best life I can possibly live while helping my people in the process.
There we go.
That muscle memory is real. So let me play this clip, because it is amazing. And when we get back, we can talk about it. I just like if it doesn't hit you, you need to listen to it a couple more times. So let me make sure I got the right one, and let's get into it.
Tyler, you are a brilliant visionary that embodies what the African American dream truly is. You, sir, are an icon living. I am deeply, deeply honored to present the 2019 BET Ultimate Icon Award to my dear, dear friend, Mr. Tyler Perry.
I want to say a special thanks to BET, my new family. I can't wait to get started over there with our new shows. Thank you so much for this. To Scott and everybody over there, thank you so much. To Viacom, Shari, who's here, Bob, everybody. Listen, from my heart, I want to say thank you. I couldn't help but think about my mother. Sit down. I couldn't help but think about my mother. I remember being a kid, I was about 5 years old. She would take me into the projects with her when she played cards on Friday nights with a bunch of women. Now, these women didn't have more than a 12th grade education, but they were smart Black women. They were powerful Black women. They had great stories to tell. And I was a five-year-old kid sitting there on the floor playing with my matchbox cards, listening to them talk about their men, their relationships, and their pains. And when one of them would get really sad, another woman would come in and make a joke, and they'd all start laughing. I didn't know I was in a master class for my life. I would get home, and my father would be beating my mother and doing all kinds of things and saying all kinds of stuff to her, and he would leave the room, and I'd walk in, and I'd imitate one of those women, and she would start laughing. There was a power in that that I didn't really get until I got older. I remember being about 11, 12 years old on my way to my new school, and I got to this intersection. I had to walk past pimps, prostitutes, walk through a graveyard, get to this intersection, six-lane intersection, and there was a man standing there saying, "Will someone help me cross? Will someone help me cross?" And there were all these people that kept passing by him. I said, "I'll help you cross." So he told me he was going to my school, and he was going to sell candy there. That's how he made his living. So I helped him cross the street to get there. We became good friends. His name was Mr. Butler. That moment reminded me of my mother, bringing her out of pain into laughter to help her cross. My first 10 movies were all about her subconsciously, wanting her to know that she was worthy, wanting black women to know you're worthy, you're special, you're powerful, you're amazing. All of that was about helping her cross. When I started hiring people like Taraji and Viola Davis and Idris Elba, they couldn't get jobs in this town, but God blessed me to be in a position to be able to hire them. I was trying to help somebody cross. When I built my studio, I built it in a neighborhood that is one of the poorest black neighborhoods in Atlanta, so the young black kids can see that a black man did that and they can do it too. I was trying to help somebody cross. The studio was once a Confederate Army base, and I want you to hear this, which meant that there was Confederate soldiers on that base plotting and planning on how to keep 3.9 million Negroes enslaved. Now that land is owned by one Negro. It's all about trying to help somebody cross. While everybody was fighting for a seat at the table, talking about Oscar so white, I said, y'all go ahead and do that. But while you fighting for a seat at the table, I'll be down in Atlanta building my own. Because what I know for sure is that if I could just build this table, God would prepare it for me in the presence of my enemies. Rather than being an icon, I want to be an inspiration. So thank you, BET, my new family. Thank you, everybody. I want you to hear this. Every dreamer in this room, there are people whose lives are tied into your dream. Own your stuff. Own your business. Own your way. God bless you. Thank you, BET. Thank you, Scott. I love you guys. Thank you.
That's beautiful, man.
It is even more amazing the next time I hear it than the time I heard it before.
Yeah.
What took a lot of people out was when he was talking about the Confederate thing, which is just it was a time when that land was taken over by people that were trying to keep other human beings as property and not human for their own laziness. And now that entire area is owned by one person, and it's a black person. Just absolutely, I believe, you know, I honestly believe in what he was saying, because I really feel like a lot of us are having the wrong conversation, and a lot of us are still asking for permission from white people to be free. And it's very disappointing for me, because I'm not asking anybody to be free. The day I was born, I was free. So I'm not telling anybody that I'm not free and that this person's not free. All of us are free. The only place that you're not free is in your mind. And I think that that's one of the greatest things you did for us, Daddy, is that you educated us on what was going on and what happened and who we were and who we are, but you never made us succumb to the feeling of being enslaved mentally. And I think that that is one thing that a lot of people have not had the opportunity to be free mentally in the black community. And that's one of the reasons why we're in the situation that we're in, because not everybody has you to explain to them in a way that they'll be able to understand and empathize and sympathize, but not to participate in the mental enslavement that a lot of us are going through. And there's not that many people that can say that they feel free mentally. And I think a lot of what, you know, Candace and me and our brother Haru, like what we have gone through growing up to know that we're capable of doing anything. We're just as good as anybody else. Never, you know, better than other people, but just as capable. And we've never felt the need to let being black hinder us from doing anything. And it really does show in all of our experiences and the way that we feel about a lot of things. And there's a lot of conversations that we try to have with other people and they don't get. And it's unfortunate that we feel like we need to ask somebody else to free us when the day you're born, you're free. So I really think that a lot of us are having the wrong conversations, and I think that conversations like what Tyler Perry was saying are conversations that are headed in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, and I think that just listening to what he said and having grown the way I grew up, you know, with my own parents, even your grandparents, and with my sister Ruthie, you know, our experiences was tenacity. It was you just go ahead. You know, there are no excuses. There could be reasons, but there are no excuses. Nature, when you are born with a set of cards. Some may be one way, others another way. Tyler spoke about coming home and his dad physically abusing his mother. And then he would go in and he would tell something that he heard one of the women say in the room. And it becomes important that he owns his pain, because that has to be painful, and I'm sure that it's painful. But he owns it. But that did not stop him from doing what he did. And
exactly.
His ongoing story, even what he went through. We don't have time. But, you know, we come from a people that are like that. That's why we are where we are today. We are from that. It's just that this society is fake. It gives you a sense of affluence that you have, that there's nothing more left to be done. And one thing is that the conversations we're having, the things that we're saying to each other, the way in which the society is trying to create the illusion, it creates conversations for us. And we have those conversations. We have to say, no, that's not what we need to be talking about right now.
Yeah.
And realize what the conversation is. The conversation is, how can we do what Tyler Perry did? That's what he said. He don't want to be an icon. He wants to be an inspiration. And being an inspiration says, how can I be like him? Here is an example. He has done what he's done. How can I do that in my field? Whether it might be in banking, whether it's in social work, whether it's in education, whether it's in being a personal trainer. The question is, how can you, as Dr. Clark used to always say, perfect your craft? Perfect your craft. Whatever it is that you've been given as a gift, how do you make it better? And how do you make it better for the rest of your life? We have concepts of retirement. There's no such thing as retirement. Retirement to me is spelled R-I-P. Rest in peace. There's no such thing as retirement. You're living all of your life. As you mature, continue living that life. Live it on the level where you may be, but live your life. You never stop.
Exactly.
But that's the people that we come from. We come from a people like that. That's not new. That's something we come from. That's part of our DNA.
Yep.
Success is a part of our DNA. We structured this civilization. We structured this civilization when we were the only people on the planet, and we structured the American civilization just by the nature of what we did when we were enslaved. We not only were a classical African civilization in Egypt, we were a classical African civilization on the plantation.
Exactly, and we still are.
And we still are. I think hip-hop is a classical African civilization. Hip hop in its deepest core is a classical African civilization. It is built out of an experience. It has many different areas of it, whether it be dress or whether it be speech or whether it be the way we walk, whether it is the way we talk, whatever it may be. Hip hop is a classical African civilization. You don't have to go back to the pyramids of Egypt. You're living it right now.
Absolutely.
So it becomes important that we realize this, and we look at Tyler Perry, and we look at him as an inspiration, because that becomes very important.
You know what's sad to me is that a lot of people look at him and say, what is he doing for the black community? Like he needs to fix us. They did that with Oprah. They did that with Beyonce, Jay-Z. They did it with Obama. A lot of times they say, oh, they haven't done anything for the black community. But my thing is, all they need to do, in my opinion, is be an example, like you said. I mean, you didn't say it to say, but you're saying he's an example. It, to be honest, I feel like that's all that they need to be. Not everybody is going to do this and do that and say, like, not, it's not everybody's position to do that. I don't understand why we can't look at something and see it as an example and want to be like them instead of saying they need to give X amount of money to my community so that I can benefit off of somebody else's hard work. It's really important that we take into consideration that these people are inspirations, like he said, but they do not have to fund, you know, everything that fixes they can't fix a community that is not also fixing the community itself. And I do realize that a lot of it is mental, a lot of things that we're working through, but we cannot blame Tyler Perry and Oprah for doing what they're doing and not doing it in the way that we want them to do it if we're not willing to do the same thing. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. There's no reason that we can't all be like Tyler Perry or Oprah or Lena Waithe. There's no reason why we can't be like those people that are making movies to represent our community or hiring black people to represent our community. There's no reason that we all can't be like that. We all can't sit here and wallow in the pain and the struggle that we're going through and then blame somebody else because they've made it and we haven't made it. It's important to make it with them instead of forcing them to make it for us.
Well, I think what Tyler was trying to, you know, say was, you know, use him as an example that it's possible. A lot of times people of color grow up and they feel like they cannot be outside of the box. They cannot live outside of New York City. They cannot live outside of Harlem. They cannot live outside the neighborhood that they've grown up in. And what Tyler Perry is showing us is that we can live outside of that. We can be all that we can be. We can dream for the stars. We can be above, you know, what we even can conceive. Because, like you said, Sasha, we are, like, it's a mental thing. We're not in physical slavery, but we're a lot of times in mental slavery. And
exactly
what Daddy and Mommy have been able to do with us is to tell us the sky is not the limit. For us to, you know, whatever we dream up, we do. And that's like with me. Nobody told me that I couldn't do, so therefore I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I continue to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to continue to think outside of the box, strive for the sky, strive for the stars, because it's all a mental thing. If you feel like you can't, then you can't. Before you even start out, if you feel like you can't, then you won't. And we have
exactly
to get into the mentality that even if I don't, if I reach for the stars and even if I don't reach for the moon, even if I don't, then you're still amongst the stars. You're still,
mm-hmm,
like, out there trying to do the best that you can and be the best that you can. And what allows people to remain stagnant is a mental blockage that we need to get past and we need to move past and we need to realize our potential and we need to look
exactly
at the awards. And every time I see something like that, I'm like, geez, look how talented we are. Like, we are,
mm-hmm,
an individual a collective, the anybody who's experienced any sort of, you know, issue where we felt as though we are less than or we've been treated as such, the fact that we've been able to get knocked down 9 times and get up the 10th time, that shows strength. And just imagine
if we
did not have these mental shackles holding us down. Just imagine how amazing we can actually feel and shine, and in a quicker pace than what we're even allotted. Like, if we're told we can't do, then we won't do. But once we're told, you know, keep going, we got your back, you know, like how Daddy and Mommy did us, whatever we wanted to do, my dad was my biggest cheerleader. Mommy was right there. Like, you can do it, and you got to keep striving, you got to keep doing, and we have to continue the generation. We can't just allow them to feel as though social media is the end-all, be-all. Either you're an Instagram model, or you're a video vixen, or you're a rapper, a basketball player, or something that is so, you know, it can be taken away in the drop of a dime. We can't live on that, you know, thinking that this is the only thing that we need to do and we need and we can do is these couple of things to be successful. Success is not in money. Success is in wealth. Success is in the mental part of it. It's not in the physical, tangible part of it, because you can easily lose money. Success is being able to, even if this doesn't succeed, I'm going to have a next idea, or I'm going to have this next thing that I'm going to be working on to better myself and to, you know, get outside of my norm. And just the ability to keep on keeping on, because it ain't over till we win. And, you know, we joke around, and I'm like, that's my favorite slogan. That's my favorite Kabbaism. But it's 100% truth. It's facts. Because it's like, even if you happen to, quote unquote, lose the battle, you can win the war, and you will win the war if you have that mentality to keep on keeping on. Because once you stop and once you, you know, you give up, you've already lost. But even if you keep going, keep going, keep going, you may not succeed, but you'll eventually get there and you'll learn along the way. And this is what I tell a lot of my clients. Even if you know, you're hurt and you're down and, you know, you're feeling a certain way, the fact that you're able to muster up the energy to get back up, you're strong, and you're stronger than before you had that situation. So use that strength and use these experiences, because it betters you, it builds you up, it makes you stronger, it makes you who you are. Your battle scars are stories that you can tell the youth in order so that they don't have to go through what you've been through. So we have to continue to support each other. And even when we forget sometimes we're around negativity, we start to, you know, be negative, we have to realize that we are amazing. Everybody individually, regardless of their race, creed, color, religion, you know, we are an amazing individual, and we need to be our individual selves. We don't need to be nobody else but ourselves, because there's only one of us. So that's what the awards made me feel. It made me feel like I need to be the best kind of K that I can be. Even though I can't sing, rap, dance, nothing. I mean, I could dance. I could whine a little bit. But, you know, I need to just – it just reminds me that I am an amazing individual, and we are all – what did Nipsey Hussle's mother say where – and Daddy says it all the time.
Spiritual beings having a human experience.
There we go. And just enjoy it, because you know what? We're not going to be able to live yesterday, tomorrow. You know, enjoy your youth, enjoy your experiences, enjoy even the hard times.
We don't even know if there is a tomorrow.
Exactly. So you just got to live like today is the last day. And I'm not saying go out there and do no crimes or do no bad or do no harm to another, but just live your best life to the best definition of that statement. You have to live how you want to live, and not how society is telling you need to live or somebody's telling you need to live. It's all about power and control. You have power and control over yourself. successful, live your best life, continue to be great. And I loved Tyler Perry's speech because it really makes us realize that he went through so much, and that's not even half of what he's experienced, but just the ability to find a way to get to the next day, to find a way to allow his mother not to get so down in the dumps and to lift her spirits back up, to for her to realize that we're stronger than this. We'll get through this. We'll get to the next day. We'll get to where we need to be. That speaks volumes, and we just have to, you know, adapt that sort of mentality to the way in which we live our lives.
There's so many times during when you were talking that I wanted to add something, and now I completely forgot everything I wanted to say.
Oh my bad. I kind of went on a little bit of a rant.
Oh please. I do that all the time, but I don't even remember. You know, one of the things that I did want to say, and I think is really important for us to take a moment and realize how much fun and how good we have it. Like, a lot of us complain and we talk about how bad it is, and you know, all these things may be true, but when you're in the hood, and when you're in not even just the hood, but any neighborhood where there's, but I say that because a lot of, you know, New York, the majority of people that live in the hood are people of color. So that's why I'm saying it. But other places, it doesn't even have to be the hood. When you think of black neighborhoods, when you go to parties in black neighborhoods, when you, even if there's just a group of black people hanging out with each other, we don't need that much to have a good time. So many other people that we think that they have it better than us, they have to go through a lot to enjoy themselves. Sometimes they even have to come to our parties to enjoy themselves. And it's really sad to me that we don't realize how amazing of an experience we have with one another and by ourselves. Because we may not have the money that other people have. We may not have the status and the jobs and all that stuff, but we have something that's much deeper, and no matter what we go through, we still can have a good time with each other. No matter how much we don't like our jobs, no matter how much we go through things, when we get together, we have an amazing time. When I am with my people, whether it's family, friends, people I don't know, but we just happen to be of the same cultural background, I have such a good time. And all, you know, it can be food and music. Food, music, and drinks. Like, it doesn't even have to be anything extravagant. You don't have to spend a lot of money. You're probably only going to spend money on drinks and food, and that's it. But everything else, like, we get together and it's fun. That award show, it's more fun that they were together than the money that they spent on anything that they spent money on, whether it was the clothes, the venue. They could have done that in somebody's backyard and had an amazing time just being together. And I don't think that we realize that sometimes.
And, you know, the other piece that we look at is the fact that there's a brother, Dr. Wade Nobles, who talks about a shattered conscience. A shattered consciousness and a fractured soul. As an African people, with all of that greatness, and it's definitely there is also an experience that we've had as a people that has been very, very painful. And by matter of degree, all of us, no matter who you are, whether you have the wealth of Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey, or the poverty of a brother or sister who is out under the bridge trying to clean your windshield. By matter of degree, the one thing we know is that being of African descent in the United States of America has branded you an illusionary image of someone who is inhumane, somebody who is less than. And it is so deeply entrenched in the minds of the human family that even people who are more melanated than some of the people that they look down upon, they still have that stigma. There are people that come from Africa that have that image of African American.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that come from the Caribbean that have that image of African American.
Mm-hmm.
They may be leaving a colonized country, but they have it themselves, so that we as an African people, particularly here in the United States of America, are living a shattered consciousness and a fractured soul that we all have to look back on and realize and work with our people, love them unconditionally, but be able to balance your relationship so that we can do it, because there are people doing great things. There are, you know, on Times Square, there are some brothers that do dances. I mean, phenomenal dances. I mean, they're doing things that would be on, you know, would be in on stage. But they're in Times Square because nobody will give them an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
There's another brother not far down from where they are, where they play these white buckets. You know, you get food in these buckets,
yeah.
White buckets. You get, and they turn them buckets around and they start playing. They take spoons and they start playing music that could be on Broadway. As great as they are not afforded the same opportunity that other people are. And so we are a great people. We are a phenomenal people, and the pressure that we have been put under has made us greater than even the great.
Yep.
But we have to realize it. But when you have when you have a fractured soul, or when you have a shattered a consciousness, it's
mm-hmm.
very difficult. And I understand it. I understand what they're going through. But nature has no mercy. Nature gave you these cards. You're going to have to play them the best way you can. You ain't getting no other cards. These are your cards. These are who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But you can take what you've been given and take it to the next level, so that everybody's not going to be a singer. Everybody's not going to be a dancer. Everybody's not going to be an actor or a basketball player. But you can be the best banker. You can be the best
mm-hmm.
social worker. You can be the best personal trainer. You can be the best at what you do. And
mm-hmm.
that's the example that we have to take from Tyler. Not to become a movie maker like him, because everybody's not going to become a movie maker. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But the idea is that wherever you are, if you're a bus driver, be the best bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a nurse, be the best nurse. But whatever you are, be the best at what you do. Perfect your craft. How can you take social work to the next level? How can you take banking? How can you take the management of money to another level? How can you perfect your craft? How can you become a better teacher? How can you study more ways to get information to people, to children, to help them understand, to formulate their minds? Become the best at what you do. Don't compete with other people with what they're doing, because that may not be your gift.
Exactly.
Embrace you, love you, respect you, and be the best, but also understand that you're operating in a society whose development and purpose was to dehumanize you.
Mm.
And don't be afraid to say it. You know, I've done presentations, say, oh man, you got a chip on your shoulder. I say, I ain't got a chip on my shoulder. I got a monkey on my back.
Mm.
And I'm going to shake it off. And I'm going to shake it off. And I'm going to stand up straight. Because when I stand up straight, not only am I going to let the person that's trying to oppress me off my back, but anybody else who attempts to climb, because you can't climb a back that's straight. You can only climb a back that's bent.
Mm-hmm.
And my back ain't bent. I know what has happened to us as a people. I know what happened to us as a people. I am not using that as an excuse not to succeed, but I am aware of it. And I definitely will let you know. I do not hesitate to let you know. And I'm in your face with it. And I'm going to stay in your face with it. And if you don't like it, then get out of my face. But the point is that we're caught in a dilemma. Because we're on one level somewhat looking at ourselves and judging ourselves. Like they've got us like we talk about synecdoche, the idea that we have to be a credit to our race or we're a shame of our race. Well, we're the only people that think that. We're the only people that think that.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only people that carry the burden of failure on our back, or we're supposed to puff up because somebody's done something. I honor and respect former President Barack Obama. That's all my own personal opinion. I ain't got no problem with him. Because I wasn't expecting nothing from him anyway. And that goes back to something else that you said. Tyler Perry don't owe us anything. All he owes is himself.
Yep.
But you see, that's a slave mentality. Because when we were on the plantation, we had to depend on someone else for everything that came our way. We had no rights. We had no privilege. So we had to depend on them to feed us. We had to depend on them to give us clothing. Everything that we got from somebody else. We lost our ability. When we were in Africa, we did for ourselves. We had our own clothes. We made our own clothes. We made our own houses. Everything that we did because we were in charge of our own lives. But when we were enslaved, although we got so little, the little we did get still was dependent on someone else doing it for us. And so we've got this other people need to do for us mentality. And so when one of us arrives in a position, we think, okay, it's time for you to give back to me. But they don't owe me anything. They only owe
That's how I feel.
Excellence. This is how
That's
we should
exactly
view this. Now, at the same time, I also understand that as someone of African descent, I do know that there is something that I choose to give back to my community. But I choose that. I chose to do that. But I don't owe it. I do it because I realize that it is important for me to reach back to get to the younger brothers and sisters to give them some sense of self so that they can rise and do what they were born to do. But it is not as I owe it. It is not an obligation. It is something that I do freely because this is what my gift is. This is what I've been given to do, to be an educator. But we all have to start looking at this very differently because we're hurt. And as I observe us, you know, like I'm going to tell you something, okay, like Joe Biden, okay? Okay, let's get personal.
Oh, goodness.
Now, Joe Biden has said something, right? And he said something that to many African people, and many African-American people, particularly people like me, because I remember what that senator did to Fannie Lou Hamer. Eason, I remember what he did. And so these senators that he said that he got along with, and they didn't call him boy, they called him son, that was extremely insensitive. Whether or not he has to apologize, I don't need his apology. But I just need to let him understand you are a white man contained within your white supremacist society. And you, by matter of degree, are a white supremacist too. Just by saying that, just by saying that, you showed me that you have remnants of white supremacy.
He said about...
You know, the point that he was trying to make was a very valid point. And it's very important to understand. In politics, you're going to compromise. Democrats, Republicans, independents if you want to go there too. But political parties compromise. In compromise, you're not going to get everything that you want. Somebody's going to give up a little bit of something when they get something back. The other side is going to give up a little something, and they're going to get something back. That's what compromise is. That's what politics is. So that when you're when arch racists years ago were attempting to hold down black folk, and those that wanted to do something for black folk, they compromised. Everybody gave up a little something. I understand that. That's the way politics works. But the example that he gave was insensitive to black people. He could have used a lot of different examples about how you compromise. You didn't have to use an arch racist as an example. But he was trying to show the extreme of what he was talking about how people that are horrible human beings, those senators were responsible for some of the dead bodies found in rivers down south. They were part and parcel of that back in the 50s and 60s, during my generation.
Mm.
These were not good people at all. So when he used that as an example, he drudged up memories that he should have left alone.
Mm.
But what do you do when you make a mistake? You apologize. You apologize. I don't want his apology. He can take his apology and shove it up his nose. I'm not waiting for white folk to apologize to me for something
that's
that they don't have the moral compass to be able to do.
Exactly.
So what he said and what he did was inappropriate. It wasn't correct.
He is an inappropriate person, but we like him because we think he's black because he was Obama's vice president.
And this is all part of the shattered consciousness. See, these are real examples of what it is that we're talking about as a people and not having a proper analysis of our experiences as a people to be able to say to Joe Biden, to help him understand. The same thing with Buttigieg, okay? Buttigieg made mistakes. He really did. Looking at this political system, he did make mistakes. And it was before he ever decided to run for president that he made mistakes.
Hmm.
But there's room for growth for all people. And I understand that also. So while we are very clear on where we're coming from, at the same time, we have to always see and judge. This is what Ma'at was. Ma'at was the ability to balance. And that becomes so important because what we're experiencing is we're so extreme in everything. We're either on one side or another. And there are people of African American descent who came out in support of Biden. No, you don't come out in support of him. You don't come out in support. You come out and you express your understanding of where he's coming from, but you don't turn against your own people. If somebody says something to somebody that I care for and they hurt that person, what that person said to the person I care may not hurt me. But that doesn't mean that because I wasn't hurt by the statement that I'm going to let him get away with that statement if he hurt somebody that I cared about. You got to school them. You know, like what Ice Cube did with Bill Maher. When Bill Maher said something, I think he used the N-word or something like that. And Ice Cube is a regular on his show. He knows Bill Maher, but he said, "Yo, I gotta tell you, you're wrong." And that was a powerful experience. We have to let people know. Look, you have got to understand where we are as a people. There are no honorary white people. Okay, Bill Clinton was not the first black president. Let's be clear on this. Joe Biden, you have to prove yourself, but don't use Barack Obama to think you're going to get my vote simply because you were with him.
Exactly.
And we just have to start thinking like this and move away from this nonsense conversation that we're having. But again, I understand us as a people. We are going through changes right now. But this is the showdown right now. Humpty Trumpty done did his thing. And now everybody's watching. Everybody sees it. He's in very serious trouble. He knows it. He's in trouble now. And I watch his body language. I watch the way he talks. He knows he's in trouble now. And there's a lot of things that are going to go down between now and the next election, but I'm not going to get political. But all I know is that evil knows evil and good knows good, truth knows truth, and trust, trust, trust. And that's what's going down right now. And it's your generation, as I go back, it is up to us to be able to develop an understanding. And what Tyler Perry said and what I was able to catch part of what Sister Nipsey Hussle's mother said. And you know, I understand, and I've read some of the comments. And the unfortunate thing is that for some of us who are hurt very badly, truth sometimes flies over our head and we don't even know it was around us. Because there were people that said things about her and her comments that it was obvious to me they did not understand what she said.
Most people did not understand.
It's not easy when you're conscious and you're trying to say something to people to help them understand how she broke it down and the way she went from sentence to sentence. And and there were some people that even in support of her, which I appreciate, were saying, you know, let her grieve the way she grieved. But even they didn't understand what she said because they thought she was just off the handle because she was grieving the death of her son. But she was doing something totally different that they just didn't understand what that sister was dropping on that stage because they could not work with her because they used to delivery a certain way. They're used to being spoken to a certain way. And so when they hear something from a different type of perspective, it goes right over their head. It went right over a lot of their head. The comments that I saw, because, you know, like we share, and, you know, they sent me her statement. And when I read her statement, when I watched her presentation and I watched her body language, when I saw the comments, I said, wow, you know, people just didn't get it, didn't get what she said. It went right over their head. It's a shattered consciousness and a fractured soul. And we've been through a lot as a people, and by matter of degree, we're all in pain. But despite and in spite of that, we are doing phenomenal things.
And that is the best part of it. That's the part that we just don't get. A shattered soul and a broken what?
A shattered soul and a fractured consciousness. Or you could do it the other way around. Either way.
Yeah, but even with that, we still are doing better than we should be doing. We shouldn't be doing this great.
That's right.
We should not be doing this well.
No, even the brothers and sisters who are out there on a red light trying to clean your windshield, they're surviving. And every day, and you know, one of the things that Richard Spencer said in Race War, he made a statement like, we're going to win the war. But what war was he talking about? The war is life.
And they're not going to win.
Every day that a black person wake up, they woke up winning just by living.
Wow.
Just the fact that you're alive, you are winning because this society was created in either for you to work for free or be dead. The fact that you woke up, you won. What you do on that day is icing on the cake. Even a bad day is a good day because at least you're alive to experience it.
Wow. I'm writing that down. I'm writing that down.
Add it to your comment.
Goodness gracious. I'm putting it on my Instagram story. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Dropping them gems.
seriously. But it just makes so much sense, and I think that that's one of the reasons why people appreciate you so much, is because you, things that don't make sense make sense when you explain it. And that is true. I actually, what you said, it makes me wanna play. Did you see the performance with her? And why was it YBN Cordae? Did you see that
one? No.
Okay.
No.
So I'm gonna play it now. For anybody that hasn't, well, you won't be able to see it, but you can hear it. If you wanna see
her is just amazing. Like everything she does, and she's so young. But she is just pure and unadulterated.
And the,
like, beautifulness.
But the best thing about her is that she wants people to focus on her voice and her message. And she doesn't, so she doesn't wear. And you know, women have the right to wear. You do you. But with her, it's she really focuses on her message and her voice and her music. She doesn't want to focus on her face. She doesn't want to focus on her body, but she is what society would call beautiful, but she does not want anybody focusing on that. So her clothes fit her properly. She doesn't show skin. I think Sunday night might have been like the most I've ever seen her show skin, and she wasn't even showing skin. But if you watch the award, you'll see what I'm talking about. But it's nice to be able to, you know, it's nice for women to be who they are authentically and not have other people control them, but it's also nice to be able to focus on the message and the music as opposed to, you know, it all being in your face.
For a while, she didn't even reveal who she was.
Yeah,
like, it was a mystery as to who.
The only reason people did it is because they figured out who she was because she did something before. Her name is like Gabby something. She did something before where she was out.
Mm-hmm.
So people found. I think that if people wouldn't have found out who she was, she could have gone on the rest of her life. People not like Sia. Sia for years nobody knew what she looked like. I mean, it's a completely different situation, but it's a similar type of thing. Because Sia is also very talented musically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she wrote
Giants
for Rihanna.
You focus on the talent and not on the look.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've lost that. And that's, like, you know, one of the things that people, I mean, even with that, Cody was a, I think his name was Cody. I'm pretty sure. I'm like 99% sure. The one from, what was Gabrielle Union and Simon Cowell on now? What is that show called? America's Got Talent?
Maybe.
I think it's America's Got Talent. But he had autism, and he was. Did you see? You saw it, right? I sent it to you and mommy, Candace.
Yeah.
Where the guy, he had autism and he was blind.
Yes.
And then he started singing.
Yeah, he played the piano.
Yeah, and he played the piano when he started singing. Everybody lost their entire mind. I'm going to send it to you again, Candace, because you need to.
Please do.
Like, literally, like, when you, like, you, I don't even want to explain it, because you need to watch it, because when he's talking, his mother's talking, and then he starts singing, please be sitting down, because you might fall out of your chair, because it's just like, it's something that, if you are not expecting, so the talent that people have is amazing, and it's bigger than being shallow. Because so many of us are so shallow that we don't take into consideration like the deepness of a lot of things, and that's one thing that her as a singer I think does very well, because you don't need to focus on her face and her clothes and her body, because what she's giving you. It's like you don't need to see anything else. So I'm gonna play I'm gonna play the song, and like the whole thing was just amazing. And then you have like if anybody that's listening has not watched it, go on YouTube and watch it. Just put in her BET 2019 and you will find it and you will be happy, and then you will download the song like I did and wish that YBN Cordae was in it as well, and he's not. But just listen to this and then you will hear it.
Thank you. We're all slaves to a generation socialized in sicknesses in the mind. We are habitual thinkers, substance abusers, and habitual drinkers. So free your mind, because the plug is watching from the top floor, hoping you too will fall for the illusion of a temporary high. What we think we need to get by. But are we really trying when kids are dying and depression is trending? Are these the signs of an Armageddon? We're all in denial, and it's all cool until you're suicidal. We never learn from our so-called idols. We're just repeating the cycle, so I never read the news anymore. It's hard not to feel hopeless when no one noticed the explosion came from a man whose legal gun was loaded. It's all watered down and sugar-coated, and we voted, but did we really get to choose? We don't need proof that they separated from the truth. Mothers and fathers are being separated from their youth, and they're selling the American dream and what it appears to be, but they don't teach us that wealth is unattainable with their currency. History is not my brother's story. The original founders were buried in the ground where men have planted seeds of disease, and they've justified being thieves, feeding their inner demons and blaming the minority. It's a World War III, corruption versus greed, not you versus me. But did we ever think of the need for inner peace? They can't put a price on your soul. It don't matter your religion. Right and wrong is something everybody knows. They pick and choose what's equal, who's good and who's evil. And this is the devil's world, but the Lord is coming for his people. Surrounded by these hungry lions, looking in the jaws of death, we reach for saving hands. No help will come from man. The Lord.
Great whites drowning in the deep waters. Know you got three daughters, could use some resources. Nah, we just need order. I got my own bad news, but get a reporter. Man, we ain't even safe. They wanna deport us, or rather keep us boxed in on the street corners. You gon' stop and frisk us, man, at least warn us. My dog's still on probation, they got a leash on us. Far from stupid, in fact, I'm smarter than Harvard students. Spark the movement and put an end to this garbage music. Got me thinking like this can't be life. Man, y'all idiots, y'all voted for the Antichrist. Living in this false reality, it's in this picture gallery. Based on a person's profile, we get the salary. Lifestyles are advertised, quite strategized. Make a minimal amount and then we maximize. Y'all people capping with lies, how they capitalize. Creating their own perception, what a massive facade. Digital marketing schemes, even broader regime. Live how you want on the internet, who started this thing? Now I'm a new man, need to find a new plan. God bless America, God bless Sudan. Now I'm a new man, need to find a new plan. God bless America, God bless Sudan.
All right, that was a
beautiful song.
That we're back. All right, that I mean, it's like you can't even. It's hearing it is one thing, but seeing and she's playing an instrument and like seeing him and seeing the little blue dot. Well, the big blue dot on the stage. It just like, you know. Seeing it was just amazing. And like, you know what they were wearing, and it was very, you know, and they got introduced by the Exonerated Five, formerly known as the Central Park Five. They introduced the two of them, and it just was, you know, it reminded me kind like it seemed like it's on the same order of when Beyonce did the Super Bowl and everybody had on the Black Panther party outfits, and they made the X for Malcolm X on the stadium. It reminded me of that type of the type of look that they had. It was similar, you know. It was just like, I don't even have any words for it. It was beautiful.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's like, it was so relevant. Like everything that she was saying and everything that he was saying was so relevant to everything. And I think even the movie coming out, the docuseries coming out when it did, you know, it really sheds light. And, you know, I just kept saying, like, it's so crazy that it took 30 years for this documentary to come out, for the backlash to that woman to, you know, be so strong as to fire her and do justice. Not, well, there's no justice for what
both
she did.
Them.
But
both
it's just
them.
Amazing that it took so long for anybody to even realize that, you know, these individuals. And when I was watching, I think it was the Oprah interview where I forgot his name, but there's one that you can see the pain that he's still in, and this is 30 years later.
I think it's Antron.
Yeah.
I think it's Antron.
Yes. And even...
Because
no
a lot of people
what,
were concerned about him after that.
Yeah. No, it's very concerning, but I'm sure that, you know, those that are close to him got him the help that he needs, but there's no... Like we say, you got to live your best life. There's, you can't live yesterday to tomorrow. Like, they can't get back those years, and they can't get back those experiences, and they can't get back that part of them, that little person inside of them. That when you look at the picture, I forgot which one was wearing his I forgot his name. The one I was wearing his face on his shirt, and you look at that little boy,
Raymond Santana.
Yes. And you just, like, there's nothing that will be able to bring that little boy back to what he was the day prior to that incident. And it's just amazing the sequence of events. I know we spoke about this last time with the Exonerated Five, but just, you know, just seeing it and feeling it, like, you could actually feel their hurt and their sorrow, even though they've come so far, but it's still present and it's still evident, but it's helping those individuals that are going through it now and will go through it in the future. Because the more you speak up about it, the more power that you're given to yourself to feel empowered in situations that you feel lack of power.
And the love that they've gotten from people is immeasurable. Because it's one thing for people to know about it. Everybody heard about the Central Park Five, but when you see what Ava DuVernay did, when you see how she chose the people to represent them as young children, and then even when you see those same actors off screen, you realize that the pain that they went through, they were children.
Yeah.
And seeing it is different when you are is different than when you hear about it. Because hearing about it, a lot of times people, not necessarily our community, but people outside of our community, think of black men as criminals. So they don't see black boys they see criminals. Mm-hmm. But when you see what happened to them, it puts it in a different way, and people see it differently. You know, even for me, yeah. I have a seven-year-old. So after I saw that, I realized that even though I want to keep him on a certain, you know, not keep him, but, like, and with my contribution to how he sees the world, I want him to see it a certain way. But I also need him to know, like, this is one of the things that I was going to say earlier. We need, even though they need to be able to be whole and understand that they're free, it's what Daddy was saying. He said it before, that when you go outside your door, there's wolves waiting outside. And I'm probably going to say it wrong, and you can correct me when I'm finished, but there's wolves waiting outside your door. If you go outside and you have meat around your neck, you know, you have to know what you're going out in the world that you're going out into and what you need to expect. But you mm-hmm. also have to know what you're going, you know, the world that you're going out into.
Mm-hmm.
If you go out and you do certain things, you say certain things, you have to realize the world that you're going into. So even for my son, I want him to go out into the world being the way that, you know, the way that we were raised. I don't want him to think anybody has any power over him. I don't want him to think that anybody thinks that he's not good enough, but I also need him to know that there are people that think he's not good enough out there and how to handle them. And I think that that is one of the most important things for black women, black men, and black children, male and female, to understand that you are not who they say you are, but there's people that believe it and will treat you in a manner that they believe it. That's the most, it's not for us to feel like we're not good enough, and it's not for us to believe that we're not good enough. It's for us to know how great we are, but understand that there's people that don't get it. And there's people that don't mm-hmm. want to get it intentionally because of their fragility, because they don't feel good enough, so they're going to make us not feel good enough. So I think that that's one of the most important things to get from this, is that there's people that looked at those five kids and looked at them like they're expendable, whatever the word is. They looked at them like they could just throw them in jail and make their careers better.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that genuinely feel that way. Even now, with this person that's in the White House, they got an $85,000 ad to have children murdered, innocent children murdered. But, I mean, that's no different than what he's doing now. But anyway, he has took out an ad for $85,000 to have black children murdered, and in the same breath said that if he came back, he would want to come back as a black man because we have more rights than white people. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed. But even for those five men, they're making such a difference in a lot of people's lives that it is my hope that they have taken what happened to them and use it as armor and protected the people that need their protection. So even though they've gone through what they've gone through and they can't take back what happened to them, what it feels like they're doing, and it feels like all five of them are doing it, is to help so that other people don't have to go through the same thing that they went through.
Yeah.
And what they've been doing recently is amazing.
Yeah, but you also have to look at it that, you know, and it goes for everybody, the way in which we experience life throughout our lives, you know, crafts and molds the way in which we look at society and we teach our children. So, mm-hmm. you know, we could only hope that, you know, they've gotten the help that they've needed in order to, you know, not let it keep them and allow them to wallow in it, you know. And mm-hmm. it's easier said than done. There's things in life in general that we go through and we may, you know, harp on it. We may replay it in our minds, you know, but we just have to hope that they've gotten everything that they've needed and they've been able to take it and teach their children from it. Because I think even Antoine
mm-hmm.
has, I think it's 10 children, you know, but like we've discussed.
Yusuf has 10.
Okay. Like we've discussed previously, what we go through, our children go through. Because when they are
mm-hmm.
born, when we are born, they are born. So everything that we go through in life, we're passing it to our children. So everything that he's experienced, he's passing it to his children. So we
yep.
just have to realize that society and the way in which we live our lives, it's affected greatly by our experiences and what we pass along to
mm-hmm.
our children. So I'm just hoping that they're seeing this and they're prospering. And, you know, if it's affecting them, I'm sure it's kicking up a lot of dust, you know, just seeing it, just feeling it, because we've vicariously experienced their traumas through the TV. And I'm sure that it's bringing up some sort of trauma for them, you know, rewatching it, reliving
mm-hmm.
it, talking about it, you know,
yep.
and we just have to support them, and we have to support everybody that's gone through similar situations and gotten out of it, because I'm, you know, best case scenario, they're still alive, because that could have went totally left. It could have went a totally different
yep.
direction. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just glad that they're able to be alive and be able to tell their stories, because it's a very important story.
Absolutely. Well, I would say I recommend that anything that we played tonight that you haven't watched, it's definitely worth watching and listening as well. That song by her, I think it's called The Lord Is Coming, I think. And it's really an amazing song. And as soon as I heard it, I downloaded it onto my Tidal, because I got Tidal for Jay-Z. And if you haven't seen any part of it, I definitely recommend checking it out on YouTube and enjoying it. If you are a 80s, 90s baby, then Mary J. Blige 20-minute event was amazing. And, yep, it's called Lord Is Coming by her. And it was amazing, and the whole thing was amazing, and it's so important to just look at all the, you know, all the beautifulness of being Black and melanated, and taking advantage of all the positivity, even though there's so much going on in the world. It's really important that we remember that greatness is the foundation. We didn't start with slavery. We started way before that, way before there was anybody else in the world. And if nobody else has anything to say, go ahead, Daddy.
No, I was going to say, and the greatness that allowed us to get through that enslavement process, the seeds were first planted in Africa.
Yes.
And it's important to know that we carry that DNA of the past with us even to this day.
Hmm.
But the idea of going back is not to go back. The idea of going back is to go forward. Use what we come from to go to where we must get.
Yes.
No more excuses. We can't afford excuses. We all have a story. Some are more horrendous than others. Some are better than others. I understand that. But we all got to put ourselves in place so we can become what we were born to become. Because these are very crucial times right now. And,
mm-hmm.
and this is a natural occurrence from everything that we've gone through. This is the beauty of understanding history. When you understand history, when you understand what happened in the past, you can interpret what's happening in the present, and you can predict
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said in Race War, Donald Trump and Cristobal Colon, or Christopher Columbus, are bookends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to understand that when we see Christopher Columbus, we should have expected Donald Trump to be here.
Mm.
I can see the consecutive part of history that has brought where we are today, right now, where we are. The very people that everyone's trying to push away from the southern border, the very people they're saying, go back where you came from. Go back to Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras. Go back home where you belong. What they don't understand is that those people that live there now, they actually lived in what we today call New Mexico, Arizona, and Texas. The very people that they pushed south, when Europeans were taking over the Southwest, are the very people who are coming back home. So it's like somebody comes into your house and they invade your house and they push you out. And then all of a sudden you come back in and they're telling you that you are an illegal alien. America belonged to them. This is the hypocrisy. This is the illusion that we're experiencing now. That the very people who are coming to the border now are the original inhabitants of that part of the world. It's amazing. But again, if you don't know history, you're not going to understand what's happening. This is a very crucial time in history. This is it now. And it's time for us all to get ourselves together and do what we have to do and begin to develop and chart our own history going forward. And whatever we do, we've got to embrace our babies and our children, and we've got to give them everything they need to move forward. It's time, family. It's time. Mm. And as usual, I just enjoy being here with you. Sasha and Kandike, it's just good to be with you. I mean, this is our conversation, so I enjoy it, and I just appreciate you, and I respect all the work that you're doing. I'm so proud of you.
Both very proud of you. We respect you, and we appreciate everything you do.
All right. Yes. All right. Sounds good.
Because everything you do is for the people.
There we go.
Yeah.
All power to the people.
There we go.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, and again, this has been a wonderful week and a fun and a fun talking to you. It's been fun talking to you guys, as usual.
As usual.
So we will be back again
in 2 weeks.
Talking the good talk, and yes, in 2 weeks we'll be back again talking the good talk, enjoying each other's company and having great conversations.
Absolutely. Keep on keeping on. Because it ain't over till
we win.
There we go.
Hi, Hotep.
I like it. Hotep family.
Is obscene. We've got it twisted in this lucid dream, baptized in boundaries, schooled in sin, divided by difference, sexuality and skin. Oh, so we can hate each other and fear each other. We can build these walls between each other, baby, blow by blow and brick by brick. Keep yourself locked in, yourself locked in. Yeah, we can hate each other and fear each other. We can build these walls between each other, baby, blow by blow and brick by brick. Keep yourself locked in, yourself locked. Oh, what is that? baby, blow by blow, brick by brick. Keep yourself open, yourself open. Yeah, we can heal each other, feel each other. We can break these walls between each other, baby, blow by blow, brick by brick. Keep yourself open, you're open. So they scar, there's a wound before they